Good morning. It's the 9th of November. Our first reading today is Ezra 3 and 4. I'm going to read to you from Brother Michael Ashton's book, The Exile's Return. The exiles are back in the land, and Ezra is turning his attention to the temple. I read, as the temple was being built, the returnees were fulfilling a prophecy of Jeremiah's. These words come from Jeremiah 33. Again, there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. So the hopes were high. God's great name would again be upheld by his people, and the peacefulness and influence of the nation would rival the times of Solomon. No wonder all the people shouted with a great shout. After decades, when they had been downtrodden, they could now lift up their heads again among the nations. Surely they would be well blessed by God and enjoy a period of great prosperity. Not all of the people shared this feeling, however. They all shared the hope, but there were some who could remember the glory of the earlier age. Solomon's temple had been destroyed in 587 BC, and the foundation of the new temple was laid in 536. 50 years had done nothing to dim in their minds the glory of the former house, or of its extent. So there were those who despised the day of small things, as we read in Zechariah 4, verse 10. Their attitude is not unusual. The human mind finds it easy to build up past events in such a way that the present soon pales in comparison. Detracting factors are easily filtered out, and only the pleasant things are remembered. This is a process that it is well to remember as the years pass. People have always said the old is better, believing it to be true, but often recorded facts belie the assertion. There is some evidence that this was also the case when the new temple was being compared unfavourably with Solomon's, for a little later in Ezra, it is recorded that a copy of Cyrus's original decree was discovered by Darius. In it were instructions regarding the construction of the house of God. Let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits. No length is given, but Solomon's temple was 60 cubits long, and it would be reasonable to assume that the same dimension would be used by Zerubbabel, making the size of the new temple a perfect cube, 60 cubits in each direction. Yet Solomon's temple was substantially smaller than this. It was the same length of 60 cubits, but only 20 cubits wide. It does seem, however, that some returnees, possibly those who were unfamiliar with the former temple, rejoiced that Jerusalem's period of reproach was ending. Their shouts of joy mingled with the lament of the older men, so that it was impossible to distinguish between the noises of mirth and sadness. There was a great cacophony of sound. The people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. On a number of occasions throughout the scriptural record, the phrase afar off is used with the special meaning to describe those who are not in covenant relationship with God. Perhaps some came to know the Lord God of Israel through this faithful work of Ezra. Thank you for listening.